Welcome to A Week of It from KC News for Coast Access Radio. Porirua Hospital Memorial Project. A meeting with family members of those interred in unmarked graves in Porirua Cemetery attracted more than 50 people as the council applies for funding for a fitting memorial. The meeting at the cemetery was spurred to take place by some of the families once it became public that the council wanted to memorialise more than 1,800 former Porirua Hospital patients. Cemetery's manager Daniel Crisp says it was pleasing that so many people had been in touch about the project. Mr. Crisp says it's fantastic that we've got to this point, having the descendants of those in unmarked graves encouraged to be involved. He says his team have placed 99 pegs on unmarked plots at Porirua Cemetery to represent all the families who have contacted the council. Mr. Crisp says one family member told him at the meeting it was deeply moving to see the markers and being able to photograph where two family members had been interred. These plots represent mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children and other relatives, so it's important to a lot of people. Ōtaki Gorge Road at Blue Bluff reopens. Almost 5 years after being closed following two slips, Ōtaki Gorge Road at Blue Bluff is now open again. Kapiti's Council's Group Manager of Infrastructure and Asset Management, Sean Morland, thanked the community for their patience and support and congratulated the team who worked on clearing the road. Mr. Morland says he is pleased to open the road for our community to enjoy this much-loved area again. However, he reminds people that Ōtaki Gorge Road is still a narrow gravel lane in places, with few turning points and passing opportunities. After a period of monitoring, investigations and optioneering, the five-month project involved clearing the underslip and the overslip, removing approximately 16,000 cubic metres of rock material from the slips, installing drainage on the slip face and rebuilding the road through the area and moving it back away from the cliff. The road has been reopened up to the caretaker's house. Parking and access to the Tararua Forest Park is available at the swing bridge area. The Department of Conservation is taking more time to get the Ōtaki Forks campsite ready for visitors. Trappers aim for predator-free Tihoro. A push to make Tihoro a happier place is about to get underway with a campaign to reduce threats to native wildlife. Predator-free Tihoro is targeting introduced pests by distributing traps to the community. John Draper, who is coordinating Predator-Free Tihoro with Quentin Long and Maddie West, says the goal is to bring more birdsong to the village and the district. He says they are not here because there are too many rats and stoats around. To get established, Predator-Free Tihoro has received funding from the Predator-Free New Zealand Trust, Nikau Foundation and Simplicity Foundation. The funding will provide 30 rat traps to be used around homes in Tihoro. The project has also received funds from Nikau Foundation's Bice Tennyson Endowment Fund and the Lesserberg Fund that will provide traps to be used on lifestyle and farm properties in Tihoro. Mr. Draper says by working alongside the successful predator-free Tihoro Beach Group and its extension up to Old State Highway 1, there is now the potential to create a zone from the beach to the foothills of the Tararuas where native birds can re-establish. Graham Campbell has been managing flood risk on the Ōtaki River for 19 years. Graham Campbell has been looking after waterways from Wairarapa through the Hutt Valley and Wellington up to Ōtaki for 2 decades, but is now moving on. The flood protection maestro for Greater Wellington is now taking a role with Te Uru Kahika, a new national body that represents the 16 regional and unitary councils throughout the country. Although Mr. Campbell has been flood risk manager for 19 years, he's been involved in work on the rivers since the early 1990s. He's worked with the community on a plan for how the river should be managed. Mr. Campbell says there was a lot of flooding in the early 90s, a lot of damage with erosion and so on. He says that they sat down with the community to understand the problem and then looked at ways the flood risk could be managed. He says a plan was developed, signed off in 1998, and they started implementing it. Mr. Campbell says it's not a 5-minute job or even a 5-year job. The river's here forever, so it's a long-term plan. He says he's proud of what's been achieved on the Ōtaki River, crediting much of that to the relationship the regional council has had not only with local landowners and iwi, but also the Friends of the Ōtaki River, which was set up as the management plan was being drawn up. A night under the stars for Mary Potter Hospice. A fundraising gala dinner is being held at Southwoods in August to support the work done by Mary Potter Hospice and renovate the Kapiti community base. After 30 years, the building is no longer fit for purpose. Patient numbers have increased significantly. The team cares for around 200 patients a year. And the team of staff and volunteers who are based in the building has grown to the point where some staff have been accommodated in a temporary porter cabin, and there are no hot desk facilities for staff visiting from other teams. Local architect John Tocker has been working pro bono on a cost-effective solution that the hospice now wish to implement and ensure they can get at least another 10 years out of the current building as they continue to support the people of the Kapiti Coast at the end of their lives. Mary Potter Hospice built the Kapiti community base in 1996 with the support of the local community, who raised over $350,000 for the project. The building is on land leased from Health New Zealand. That's it for another week from the team at A Week of It and KC News. Be safe, be happy and be kind. For more of these stories and many others, see kcnews.co.nz, the locally owned and operated online newspaper for the Kapiti Coast and Hora Whenua.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.